just they're designed to hear it. Tony Stark, and spoiler alert, by the way, if you haven't seen the Iron Man movies through Endgame, just stop this podcast right now and go watch 20 movies and get caught up immediately. It's like, I just turned in for investing advice, and all of a sudden we're talking about comic books. It's like, yeah. I'm sorry, folks. My investment portfolio is a drawer full of Steak and Shake coupons. I got that's all I got for you. But I think people are ready to accept it. People want to accept it and hear the gospel in that way. And that's nothing new, because whether it's Tony Stark or whether it's Obi-Wan Kenobi or whether it's Aslan or Gandalf or going all the way back, this is a story that's written in the heart, in the DNA of people to see and appreciate and resonate with the idea of sacrifice and redemption, that there's something valuable, that there's no greater love than when someone lays down their life for someone else. And it's no mystery, because this is the story that God is telling. This is the story that Christ demonstrates for us.
Invested with purpose, making the most out of your time, talent, and treasures. Pull up a seat and join us as we uncover powerful testimonies that are sure to move and inspire you. Meet Christians from all walks of life and hear their incredible stories that will both motivate and challenge the way you view the world. These men and women exemplify Christian values and biblical stewardship in areas of mission, finance, entertainment, sports, and more. Welcome to Invested with Purpose, making the most out of your time, talent, and treasure. I'm Brian.
And I'm Nathan.
And today we have one of the most unique and I think very interesting guests you will ever hear on a podcast like this, Pastor Tony. Pastor Tony, welcome to the Invested with Purpose podcast.
Man, it is a pleasure to be here. I have been called unique and interesting before, but I feel like you meant it as a compliment.
I certainly do.
Thank you. It's a treasure to be here.
Thank you. Pastor Tony, I just got to say this before we get started. Normally, this is a very professional, stuffy room that we're in, but we are so happy to have you here because we get to talk about fun topics and a little bit about you, where you're from, the church that you serve. So let's start there, man. I went on your podcast, all right, and I've watched some things at MegaCon that you've done, and
I'm sorry.
Yes. Did you hear me? Yeah, you got it right.
Oh yeah. I'm just saying. I'm sorry that you had to listen to my.
Oh no. It was great. I mean, I thought to myself, man, I didn't know there was anybody that did this.
I know, right?
Or that does this, you know. So it was really cool to see. And I'm a pastor's kid, so I've just about seen it all. But for you, you know, this is totally I haven't different. Seen anything like this. Totally different. So let's talk a little bit about Nerd of Godcast. So this morning, I just want to tell you something real fast. I was walking around the office, and I said, man, the Nerd of God, how cool is that title? And they were like, dude, you can't call him the Nerd of God. I think that's what he goes by. So clear that up for me, Tony, and then tell me about the podcast.
Yeah, you know, I guess I don't know that does Superman ever call himself Superman? I think he lets other people do it for him.
That's right.
You can call me the Nerd of God if you want to. I'm just Tony. I'm just me.
Yeah.
But the Nerd of Godcast is that's our podcast. That's our ministry. That's an outreach that we do. It's a lot of fun and a lot of crazy.
That's awesome.
All right, so Pastor Tony, you have written, at least there are words that are written about you on some of these websites. You are unrepentant in your love of nerd culture. I love the way you phrase that, because you know what? If you like it, own it, right? What was your gateway? What got you into, quote, nerd culture?
Well, you know, the fun thing about nerd culture is growing up, the very things that would get your head put in the toilet in between classes are now cool and acceptable parts of the zeitgeist, right? So I think I grew up just like all kids, liking comic books and liking, you know, video games as a child of the 80s. I think the nerdy part of it was when you held on to those things past the acceptable times. You know, there was a moment where I'm sure all of my friends, you know, turned in their comic books and action figures for girls or football or something. But, you know, we stuck around the comic shops a little longer than most others did. So, yeah, and I don't apologize for that. You know, you make great relationships. You discover wonderful creativity. And, right. That's just who I am. I don't apologize for it. Some people are you know, one thing, some are the other. I'm an indoor kid. That's what I am.
Look, I try to explain this to my wife all the time because I grew up with the comics and everything. I mean, like, that was my that was my gateway into this. And my dad introducing me to Star Trek when I was a really young, and I watched all of it all the way through. And he took us to the theaters, and it was a special experience to watch the movies in the theaters when they came out. Yes. And so, you know, I'm trying to explain to her with the advent of comic book movies that have been – now, some of the more recent ones have been a letdown. But – But
yeah, we don't talk about the movies.
Let's just talk about the arc from Iron Man up to Endgame, right? That was like, it was like my dreams come to life. You know, I read this stuff in the comic books, and then I see it on the TV screen and on the movie screen, and I'm like, this is amazing. You don't understand. I never thought this could happen.
Yeah, and it was for a nerdy kid, it was like peak nerddom. It was almost like being the only Christian at your school and then walking into like a Christian youth camp, and you're like, everybody loves Jesus. And
so
it's like you see the football team are wearing like Avengers shirts and stuff, and you're like, all right, you guys, you know, you made fun of me for this, but I guess we can all like Batman now.
And how in the world did Iron Man become the representative of this? Iron Man wasn't even a major character in comic books compared to like Captain America. I mean, like,
yeah, because Sony had Spider-Man, you know, Marvel couldn't make the Spider-Man movie. So they said, well, what are we going to do to take what we got? I remember when Spider-Man 3 came out, there was an interview with Stan Lee, and they were talking about, oh, Spider-Man 3 is going to be great. We're so excited about it. And he said, yeah, but Iron Man's also coming out, and we're really excited about that. No one believed him. They're like, oh, sure, Iron Man. And here we are now in a whole new world. Tony Stark's the coolest man to ever grace the screen.
Exactly. So speaking of Tony Stark, you know, I went back, listened to several of your podcasts, which I enjoyed thoroughly. And you had an episode.
Thank you.
I think it was episode 90 on your podcast where you discussed Endgame. And basically we're discussing, of course, the character arc of Tony Stark as he started in Iron Man 1 all the way up until Endgame. Mm-hmm. And the way that it progressed in that he was like a Christ-like figure, the sacrifice that he made for the world, the sacrifice that he made for his friends and his family. And it was always going to be Tony Stark. It was always going to be, you know, you see that in the beginning now and you look back and you see it. All these movies, they draw so much parallels to the life of Christ and his forgiveness and his love for us. How do you go about, like, you know, you probably look at all these movies. Do you spend a lot of time drawing that out to the culture, the fandom culture? Do they hear this message?
Yeah, absolutely, because it's just they're designed to hear it. Tony Stark and spoiler alert, by the way, if you haven't seen the Iron Man movies through Endgame, just stop this podcast right now and go watch 20 movies and get caught up immediately. It's like, I just turned in for investing advice and all of a sudden we're talking about comic books. It's like, yeah, I'm sorry, folks. My investment portfolio is a drawer full of Steak and Shake coupons. I got that's all I got for you. But I think people are ready to accept it. People want to accept it and hear the gospel in that way. And that's nothing new, because whether it's Tony Stark or whether it's Obi-Wan Kenobi or whether it's Aslan or Gandalf or going all the way back, this is a story that's written in the heart, in the DNA of people to see and appreciate and resonate with the idea of sacrifice and redemption, that there's something valuable, that there's no greater love than when someone lays down their life for someone else. And it's no mystery, because this is the story that God is telling. This is the story that Christ demonstrates for us. And the reason is because we expect rescue. We expect resolution. It's a hunger that's in our hearts. And when we see it played out on the screen, even if the writers don't fully understand what they're representing, even if the audiences don't really fully articulate what it is that they're experiencing, there's something fundamental in the heart of man that expects and desires rescue and redemption.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. And, you know, in another episode of your podcast, we're jumping a little bit around topics, but This
jump
is
around.
Where, jump around. This is where we're all. We are literally like all the same age. I know we're all like child of the 80s, grew up in the 90s.
That's right.
Yeah.
So
we had the best toys. We had the best music. We had the best everything.
I tell everyone we lived the best. We lived in the best timeline because we grew up analog and now we're digital. So we got the best of all worlds.
Right at the perfect age where my teenager years, I didn't have social media, so none of it can come back.
That is right.
Nobody knows what we truly did.
No,
right? That's exactly right.
I don't know.
That never happened.
That's right.
So a much more recent episode. It looks like it was episode 190. It was the one titled Genre Dysphoria. You all were discussing a lot of stuff. And at the end, I thought you said something. Now, again, we talked about Star Trek, my love of Star Trek. But I thought that you said something that really, it made so much sense to me. And if anyone grew up watching Star Trek, it should make sense to you too. But I want to read it here so I don't get it wrong. I quoted it. You said, the Romulans are not going to eat Klingon soup. You have to know how to feed a Romulan, and it's not the way you feed a Klingon. And I looked at the way you approach this community, and it makes so much sense to me in the way that you're going about and witnessing to them and not giving them something like, well, you're eternally damned, and, you know, I'd love to share Jesus with you, but, you know, there's got to be another way to approach this community, right? And that's kind of what you're doing in this whole ministry and MegaCon and everything else, right?
Well, sure, because we want to speak to people in the voices that they hear. I mean, this is a fundamental thing of the church. I mean, you know, Paul says, you know, to the Jews, I became a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became one under the law, though being not myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. You know, it's the adaptability and the universality of the gospel.
Right.
And now we don't change the fundamentals of the message, but we definitely can change the flavor of the message to it, so it reaches the palates of the people that need to hear it. And, I know a lot of pastors that will make football references. Mm-hmm. They'll talk about the sports games, and those were always lost on me. I played football. I'm aware of football, but I don't follow football.
Right.
I remember one time a pastor talking about admonishing a Sunday school teacher for making Star Wars references. And then that same Sunday, he made a football game reference. And I thought, I guarantee more people in this church have seen Star Wars than watched the football game
That's
on
right.
Sunday. So there are certain people that you can't reach talking sports. And there's wonderful organizations like the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Yeah. But there's a group of kids that are playing Dungeons and Dragons right now that doesn't minister to them. There's a group of kids that are reading anime and manga and watching anime right now that's not going to minister to.
Right.
So how do you take the fundamental truth of who Jesus is and present it to them in a language that they understand so that it's palatable to them without compromising the message? And that's a difficult thing to do because you can bring the gospel and gussy it up and sparkle it with all of the flavors and miss the essential nature of it. Or you can just bring the gospel and you're not communicating in a way that the hearer can hear and you're just beating
right.
them with it. So threading that needle is a very tricky thing. You've got to have street cred in both worlds to be able
that's
to do it.
That's a good description.
Just like any other missionary would.
Yeah, that's a good description. You talk about street cred. You have nerd cred, right?
It's absolutely – I hope so. I certainly hope so.
So both
– I spent a lot of money on action figures
that's
and video
right,
games.
That's
so,
right. So both Nathan and I spent a good bit of time. We watched the service that you had at MegaCon just a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. That was incredible. Yeah.
And for those that – maybe listening or watching this that don't know what MegaCon is. Like, MegaCon is thousands of people descending upon Orlando annually.
Hundreds of 100,000 plus
hundreds
people.
Hundreds of thousands. See, I'm shooting it low.
Yeah.
And all of them are living out this nerd fandom to the extreme. I mean, everything is there. If it's a comic book, if it's a movie, if it's anime, if it's anything in this realm, it is there. And people are dressing up. I mean, it's incredible. So you had a church service in this atmosphere.
Full on church.
That is wild.
Yeah, absolutely.
And from the video that we were watching, it sounded like it was pretty full.
Right.
It was, and we didn't know what to expect. This was our first crack at it. We've been working with the folks at MegaCon for a few years now, trying to build good relationships. They're not in the ministry right. business, and that's not their motivation. That's ours. Mm-hmm. But how do we work together? How do we come and build a relationship with these promoters in such a way that they're benefiting from the relationship as much as we are? So it's been a slow roll. It actually started by a relationship, if you don't mind me taking you back in time a little bit. A friend of mine from college. He's not a Christian. He's not a believer, but he promotes anime conventions across the country. And he reached out to me and said, "Have you ever seen this show called Neon Genesis Evangelion?" I said, "I have not seen that. I've never heard of such." He said, "There's a lot of religious symbolism in it. I'm going to send you the DVDs. I'd love for you to watch it, come up with some ideas, and then come to this conference. We're having a convention. We're having the voice actors. It's the 20th anniversary." So I said, "Sure." This is back in 2015. I watched it. I took notes. I was fascinated by it. And I went into this room thinking, I'm bringing an anime-themed gospel presentation to a room full of kids in costumes, and I am going to get pelted with vegetables and eggs and plastic swords. It's going to be bad for me. But people heard, and they were so so receptive and so interested in what I had to say. And I didn't think that was going to be the case. There were a bunch of kids there that were not Christians, that had never heard the gospel, that came and they were lined up to talk to me afterwards. And they said, "This was interesting. I never really thought about things like this." And then we had other kids that came up that were in full costume that I'm a Christian, and I didn't know that it was okay for me to be a Christian in this environment. So that really was the birth of where this ministry started. So year after year, we would present these different panels, or we would try to do a live podcast. But this year, they allowed us to do three different panels at MegaCon. Wow. I did my Neon Genesis Evangelion talk. We did a live podcast, our 200th episode. And then on Sunday morning, we had a church service. And we thought, okay, if 10 people show up, we're going to be fine. This is going to be great. As long as there's more of them than there are of us, we'll be good. But what happened was there was, I think, over 108 people was the total count that showed up. Crazy. We had worship. We had a ministry. We had prayer. We had devotions that we were able to give people, books that we created to hand out. So on their way out, everybody got to walk out with a 70-day Bible reading plan inspired by fandom from Star Trek to Star Wars to Battlestar Galactica, everything in between. Yeah. So it really was an amazing experience and one that we never would have thought would have been possible without the Lord's help.
Absolutely. I have to feel like something like this, if you can do it year over year, has the potential to really grow, because you're going to get some word of mouth out of this thing.
Absolutely.
And I got to be honest, like, I watched it and I was like, you know, I was wondering, how's he going to, you know, thread this needle, you know, because it's going to be tough, right? But you put that hype video on when it started, and you're linking in Matrix, Terminator, you know, all these Marvel movies. You reference Spaceship Earth and The Message. I'm like, this, of course, Lord of the Rings, because you can't do anything without Lord of the Rings. I watched that, and I'm like, I feel hyped. Like, this is exciting. And then you come out and you talk about, you just stepping into the story, and you just go. Yeah. And it's like, that message resonates whether you're a nerd or not. You know, like, that was a phenomenal message.
And I was definitely coattailing on the creators of all of those movie stories and franchises, you know, building that momentum. Hey, if you might not know who I am, you might not care about what I'm about to say, but you've seen The Matrix before, or you've seen Back to the Future before, so get at least a little bit excited, and we'll try to turn it into a Jesus thing.
So real quick, before we go any further, Tony, I want to ask, so how do you get these people that are attending into the room? You know, is this something that you're advertising that, hey, we're going to have a church service? Or is this, you know, are you walking a line in between MegaCon and church, and somehow you're – tell me a little bit about that. How do you get them there?
When we first started, that's a great question. When we first started, we were very much walking on eggshells, because we didn't know how much we could get away with when we were there. All right, hey, listen, we're just kind of here selling stickers and T-shirts, but we're also representing the gospel. We purchase a booth in the artist area where creative types come. There are different artists and content creators, writers, and so we have a booth set up. We're at a fixed location throughout the 4 days of the con. So people will come by and question, hey, what is this all about? Nerd of Godcasts. We have people that are saying, is this for all religions? Some people will think, are you making fun of religion?
Right. Yeah.
And it creates great conversations.
Right.
And I would say 99% of them are all extremely positive. People are very curious about it. We have t-shirts that we try to make them clever and attractive. So people will look at them and go, oh, that's funny. I like that. So it creates great moments of interaction. So throughout the days of the convention, we're letting people know as we form relationships, hey, come on out and check this out. But honestly, when we had our church service, we were on the official MegaCon app as a promoted event happening. So people that we'd never met saw they're having a Sunday morning service. What is this? So the curiosity drew them in. Now, the timing that we had it, because we thought Sunday morning would be great, it was the first thing that happened on this Sunday morning. And parking when you're going to the Orange County Convention Center with 100,000 of your closest friends was not exactly the smoothest and most efficient way to get into the building. So we had a lot of people that came in and said, oh, we can't believe we missed it. We were parking. So I think that year after year, if the Lord allows us to continue having this experience, I do think it's going to continue to grow. Okay. We've had many people that saw it or experienced it that said, how can we help next year? What can we do to be a part of it? So it really was, I think, to quote Obi-Wan Kenobi, our first step into a
there
larger
you go.
World.
That's awesome.
Never miss a chance to quote Obi-Wan Kenobi. So how do you personally – you've kind of talked about it some, but maybe you can flesh it out a little bit more. How do you straddle that line between maintaining your nerd cred, your street cred, and then not – of course, not diluting the gospel in any way too? Because I know it can be a challenge. Like you kind of said earlier, you know, you don't want to water this down to a point where it's just a – you know, a self-help session and not a come to Jesus session. How do you go about doing this?
Yeah, that's a tough one to balance, because we want to be invitational and attractive to people that are just kind of casually seeking it out. But at the same time, I think it's just been a consistent commitment to making sure that every episode of our podcast, that everything we put out, has a scriptural application to it. We never want to go into any conversation that doesn't bring it to a Christ-centered resolution, because we could talk about these things all day long. We could talk about them just casually and socially, but we want to make sure that we bring it to a spiritual thing, A, because that keeps us accountable to make sure that we're always making the main thing, and B, I think it's inspirational to keep us looking, to keep our eyes open when we're watching movies, when we're reading books, or when we're playing games, to be looking for the spiritual content, to be looking for the application. So that keeps us sharp as well. We want to make sure that we're also not endorsing, and it's difficult.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm a little more old school. I'm the old guy on the show, right? We have most of our crew are in their late 20s, a couple early 30s. I'm getting to late 40s. And so for me, I didn't grow up in the age of reading Harry Potter.
Right.
In fact, I thought, I was always told that Harry Potter is the way that Satan enters into your gallbladder.
Right.
So
I heard something similar.
Strang verboten on the Harry Potter. But the younger people on our show, they've all watched it. So for me, I've always been, I got to be really careful. I don't want to be talking about Hogwarts. School of Magic and Wizardry and inadvertently send someone to HE double hockey sticks. And there's certain things that we do. You know, there's great masterful things out there that we want to maybe reference that we do have a hard time saying, you know, hey, go watch this, you guys. So we always try to create a good buffer of there's good content out there. There's life-giving content. Let's always keep our filters on to make sure that if we're watching something, we're watching it in the right context, or that maybe there's some things that we just give a hard pass to because fandom or not, that doesn't really mix with the testimony of a believer.
Right.
So it's a constant juggling game, especially as the culture gets more, and I hate to use this broad stroke word, but as the culture gets more woke, as the mainstream deliverers of our fandom continue to try to present a message or force upon us a very worldly message, it does become difficult. It's harder to avoid, but I think that when you're creating a conversation where everything comes back to a spiritual standpoint, we don't have to be afraid of those things, because we can always hold it up to the light of God's word and say, this is good, this maybe not so much.
Yeah, there's so much good that can come out of just Harry Potter alone if you have your your eyes adjusted correctly, if you're looking at it correctly, yes, there's a great story there. It's not all going to send people to HE double hockey sticks. As and maybe we just don't march right into, you know, Game of Thrones. you know, maybe that one might be off limits. You know.
but then we start playing the game of where do we draw the line? You know, like I'm not going to, you know, turn my eyes from every wicked thing. And then we say, well, now we're just going to be watching old VeggieTales VHS and not opening the windows anymore. So it is difficult to be in the world and not of the world. But it's doable if we're consistently putting the gospel first, if we're consistently making sure that everything is looked at through the light of eternity, through the light of honoring God and honoring our hearts, minds, our eyes and
Absolutely.
Ears.
Right. So I also noticed on your website, you're doing like little daily devotionals too. And yeah. this is some of your staff as well that I think that are doing them and not just you.
If you're using the word staff.
Staff. I'm sorry. I was just saying staff. I mean, like, your companions.
it's a very loose no, it's really not. This is one of the craziest things about how this thing has blown up because we have our team. There's 10 solid people on our team, which is a lot for a podcast crew. Imagining cramming 10 people your room right there and everybody talking at once. It's madness and a nightmare to edit. Yeah. But we have a network of people. There's a young man who lives in Tennessee who got connected with us through the magic of the internet. And he said, hey, I want to help out with this. So he became our DM, our Devo manager. And he has a network of people that he's just we've found that we've met through the podcast of pastors and content creators and just creative people who love Jesus and love nerdy stuff. And there are people I'll listen to the Daily Nerd Devo podcast that we produce. And I'll go, I don't even know who that person is. I've never met that person in my life. Not a clue. You know, we invite him in, we vet him. But there's people from Canada, from all across the country. I think there's a guy from Germany that gets on there and talks about Magic the Gathering. I don't. So a lot of that stuff is kind of, I oversee it. I help direct it. But no, our Devo manager, boy, he's just got a squad of probably 50 or so people. Wow. From That's across awesome. The country and beyond that contribute to it. So it's a delight for me to listen to every day. I'm usually surprised and encouraged
as well.
I got
to say, I mean, I listened to the most recent one, and this one speaks very close to me and to Nate because we are both big wrestling guys.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
It was the Sting one, right?
Yes. I mean, I grew up with Sting, and I loved him in the NWO and WCW. Like, I love that stuff. I loved it, and especially when Hulk Hogan turned heel.
Hold on. Before we go any further, Tony, I'm on a flight. I'm on a flight. Oh. Brian's sitting across the aisle, and I'm sleeping, and I look up. And what is he watching? He's watching wrestling.
He's watching wrestling, man.
Little kids around him. You know, here is a 40-something-year-old man watching wrestling.
Yeah.
And I realized he was like me. You know, I was keeping it in the closet for a long time.
I don't have it in the closet.
No. So go ahead.
I have Sting's heavyweight championship belt hanging on the wall right behind me here. So
the champion we do fantasy football and our championship is the championship belt. I love it. So anyways.
Love it.
So worlds collide. Sports and nerds.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean
I think that's what wrestling is, right? That is the crossover of like superheroes
Absolutely.
And sports, right? Sports and
nerds. But he took 5 minutes, or not even, and the parallels that he drew to Sting's retirement and then, you know, Sting, in his personal life, he is a Christian. And then you watch someone grow up with this. And then, he drew out the story of Saul, who persecuted Christians, ultimately on the road to Damascus, became Paul and became one of the shining lights of Christendom, that we'll ever see. Right. And it's just so cool that you can take something like that and turn it into like a little tiny devotional and then hook in somebody that just loves wrestling. Right. And all of a sudden, now you're hearing a Bible story in 5 minutes.
And they don't even realize it.
They don't even realize it.
They don't even realize it. That's what's cool about it.
Do you remember when we were kids? We don't. It's hard anymore. That these days, you know, you drive home, you pull into your garage, you close your door. You don't know who the neighbors are like we once did. We're in the most connected time in human history, and yet we're disconnected from one another. But remember when you're a kid and you're out of the playground and you see other kids, and it's how easy it is to make friends. Right. It's like, oh, you like cherry soda? I like cherry soda. Let's be friends. You know, you want to watch Transformers? Come over to my house. We'll watch Transformers and eat Oreos. Whatever the thing is, we could find connection and friendship based on those common things, and it didn't take much for us to relate to one another. If we're sitting at dinner, we're out at a restaurant, and we overhear a conversation, my wife will always watch my radar just go ping. If somebody talks or mentions something that's something that I like, she'll be like, don't do it. Because my temptation is to turn and say, oh, actually, hey, and then now I want to be part of that conversation because they're talking about something I care about. And that's what a wonderful and beautiful way to communicate the gospel is to open the door wide with something somebody actually cares about.
Right.
And then say, oh, by the way, it's kind of like this. And you say, huh, never thought about it that way. Well, thank you so much for that. You know, it's like putting a little, Chris Pratt did a speech, I think at some MTV Awards or something several years ago. And he said, and he's given this list of rules for life. And it's funny because every other one that he's talking about, he's Chris Pratt. He's charming. Right. He's disarming. Right. He's a little goofy. So every other thing that he gives on this list of things is kind of a goofy one. And then he'll throw in like a really, really serious one. And he gave what I would consider a very powerful gospel presentation. But right in the middle of it, he threw one of his silly little rules for life. And he says, if you want to give medicine to your dog, take the pill and put it in a little bit of hamburger because he'll eat it up, not realizing that he's eating medicine.
That's right.
And I thought he just telegraphed exactly what he was doing to America right now. He knew exactly what he was doing. And beautiful and powerful, and people ate it up and they cheered for it, as opposed to if he got out there and he just opened his Bible and he said, the Lord says in Leviticus 9, you know, then people would be like, walls up, shields up, not listening. So we're not compromising the gospel, but we are just presenting it in a way that makes it appetizing for someone who doesn't know that it's good for them.
Right. Tony, I got to say, you've got a skill for this. You really do. And I am excited to see what God is going to do in this nerd community, especially with events like MegaCon. And there are others around the country. I mean, who knows? Maybe you might go elsewhere.
Right.
Big events. Because, I mean, if we can bring the gospel and Jesus to these places, to these people. And I started out the podcast, I think it's a vastly underserved community.
Right.
They don't hear anyone talking about this stuff.
Man. Yeah.
Like, that is incredible.
We call them an unreached people group. I mean, they have their own costumes. They have their own language. It's just like going to Papua New Guinea or something like that. I mean, who knows how to speak the language? Who knows how to fit in with the culture? Very few people. And there are others. There are other great ministries out there that do what we're doing. And some of them are just taking their first steps. Some of them do it way better. But we wanted to be a part of the conversation where we were. And we'd love to go all around the country and do all these cons. Yeah. It's just time and money.
Yeah.
Time and money. That's why I'm listening to your podcast, learning how to make the most of my money. Listening to the brilliant people that you guys bring on. That's what I'm saying. Man, I'd be like scrolling through my episodes going, all right, how can I take my Steak and Shake coupons and get to San Diego Comic Con with them? So,
go ahead.
One question about that. Is there any kind of fundraising that you do? Is there any way to get money to do these things that you're talking about wanting to do?
Yeah, so we check the couch cushions in the church after every service just to see if any money fell out. We create products. It's a simple thing that we do. We have a web store on our website. I don't want
to. We're getting to the part where you can start plugging some stuff. People got to know.
Gotcha. So on our website, which will be named at the part where we plug stuff, we have a web store. We make T-shirts and we sell them. We don't make a whole lot of money on there. We also do sell our Devo books, but we really sell them at cost because we just want to get the word of God out there for people that need it.
Right.
So we do sell stickers and buttons and shirts. When the time comes for MegaCon, we do have a little bit of a giving campaign, a share-a-thon, if you will. But our costs are not exorbitant. They're high. They're high for for me, but they're not crazy. And God has just always provided.
That's awesome.
There's story after story, which if we had a whole other episode to talk, I could tell you some of the amazing stories about how God provided. But it's almost ridiculous. Yeah. It's almost like seriously, like these are the stories that I've heard other people talk about, saying, "Well, I only had a dollar to my name, and I just sewed it, and then a check for $1,000 was in the mail the next day." I've heard those stories again and again and again. It's like, well, that's great for you. And then God does it. We had a fellow that came to MegaCon last year. We're praying. My wife and I prayed Saturday. We found out we've got to renew our application for the next year. We've got to register for the next year that day. And it was going to be close to $1,000. We didn't have $1,000. Yeah. We didn't have any money. We spent all of our money just to get where we were. And we said, well, let's just pray God will provide. And okay, all right. Like, I'm a faithful person, but I'm also kind of like lightly eye rolling a little bit. Okay, we're going to just pray and see. Right. And, like 2 hours later, this guy comes over. He's like, "I'm here with my daughter, and I like what you're doing here. This is really, really interesting." And we just struck up a conversation, and something in my heart said, this might be the guy that's going to help you pay for it. How do you make that move? How do you ask? Oh, by the way, did the Lord send you, and do you have your checkbook on you? So I'm like, how do you say that? And as I'm talking with him and I'm thinking this in my mind, he said, so how much does one of these tables cost anyway? And I'm like, well, I'm glad you asked, sir. And I just told him, and he said, I'm going to go ahead and take care of your table for next year. Shut up. It was just little things like that. And they happen again and again and again. And it's like, okay, well, it's kind of hard not to believe that God is helping us when he just keeps helping us. And it's so obviously God.
Look, I mean, Pastor Tony, there are so many parallels to that in just the story of Timothy Plan and the fact that we could have closed our doors year over year when we first started back in the 1900s, as my son would say. You know, I mean, God comes through. Right. And we have to have the faith. We have to believe that. We do. I mean, we're Christians.
Every time.
We can't be doubting.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, in all seriousness, where can people find you, this podcast, all this stuff? Where can they find this stuff?
Yeah, the best hub to kind of direct you on the many paths of nerdy Christian living is the Nerd of Godcast. It's at nerdofgodcast.com, www.nerdofgodcast.com. We have a Facebook small group called the Nerd of God Squad. If you go to nogsquad.com, it'll leapfrog you straight there, or you can just search Nerd of God Squad on Facebook, share some memes, and live your dreams. Oh. We also have a couple Discord groups we have a guys group and a women's group. We found that that there was a lot of people that were struggling and they needed somebody to open up. So we created these online small groups where people can go and just be real and pray for one another and be transparent. And you can request access to that through our website, nerdofgodcast.com. It also links to our store, our YouTube, anywhere on social medias at Nerd of Godcast. If you Google it, we will
come. I did that and it showed right up. And of course, they can find you pastoring Sanctuary Church in Longwood as well.
Correct. Sanctuary Church for the moment. We're announcing our new name on Sunday.
You can't tell us.
I would. But it's as long as nobody from my church finds out that I told you guys first, there's nobody from my church is there?
Possibly be.
I don't know.
Well, Tony, was great. This is honestly this is probably the funnest episode we have ever done of this stuff.
That's right.
It's so great hearing what you're doing for the community, and we'll be praying for you seriously. Honestly, I mean, you got me excited, man. I might have to find some change in the couch cushions here to help you out.
Well, that's very kind. You know, we really do want to make a difference. These kids, nobody's reaching them, and they desperately need it. We had, I know that you had the landing gear down, so let me, you know, derail it. We had a kid that came by our booth. I misquoted Lord of the Rings in our podcast at MegaCon, and this young man came to our booth. He came and found me to correct me on my Gandalf quote, which started a conversation. And he, you know, he's very stoic. He's in full costume. I recognized his costume. Said, "Oh, you're dressed up as so and so from so and so," and he's like, "Yeah, I am." and he felt very seen. Right. It was just interesting to see him open up, and we began to talk, and he assured me, I'm not religious. I don't believe this stuff at all. I'm agnostic at best. And hey, cool. You know, we're just here to show you that you're loved. And as he began talking, he told us about his father. He said, my father just got diagnosed with cancer. And I said, can I pray for your dad? He I don't really believe in it, but you know, if you want to, you can.
Right.
Absolutely. So we prayed for him, prayed with him, and, boy, he really just kind of got shook up. One of our guys that were with us on our team, Stephen, he shared a little bit of a personal story about his mom going through cancer, and he invited him to come to our church service at MegaCon. And he's like, I'm not religious, so thank you. That's not for me. We set up for church. We showed up. We're there doing the thing. And who walks in but this agnostic kid in full anime costume? And I just thought he would never in 100 years have walked into the doors of any church in this city.
Right.
On a Sunday morning,
right.
But we went to where he was, so it really made a difference. It gave an opportunity for him to hear a message of love and hope that he would have never heard before.
That's awesome.
So what we do really does matter to somebody.
Absolutely.
And I really thank you guys for the opportunity to come on here and talk about it and brag on God a little bit for what he's doing and just let everyone know who maybe didn't know that this
just
was a thing.
Just give me a reason to talk about comics and wrestling, and we're in.
We're in. We're with you.
Well, listen, I got a podcast too, and this swings both ways. You let me know when you guys want to come by.
We'll make as long as I can wear studio. A t-shirt, Pastor Tony, I'm there.
Absolutely.
We don't have to discuss Madame Web. I don't want to talk about that. I didn't want to see it. What the heck was that? Oh, my goodness.
You know, I think people are seeing it just because they heard how bad it
is. It's a train wreck. You got to see this.
I know. It's like, this milk tastes bad.
It was like Morbius when it was so bad and they went out of theaters and they somehow did a campaign to get it back in the theaters. And it's like, did you guys watch this the first time? It was terrible. What are we doing?
they thought it would get a little traction because of how bad it was. They thought, well, everyone's going to come see it now. It didn't work the first time, but it seems to be working with Madame Web. So. What are you going to do? They can't all be
right. No, that's right.
All right.
That's
well, exactly Pastor right. Tony, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely, friends. Thanks for having me. God bless you guys.
Invested with Purpose is brought to you by Timothy Partners Limited, advisor to the Timothy Plan Funds. Timothy Plan is a family of biblically responsible mutual funds and ETFs. For more information, please visit Timothy Plan's website at www.timothyplan.com. Some of our podcast guests may have a relationship with Timothy Partners Limited on behalf of Timothy Plan, including affiliations, partnerships, or sponsorships. However, guests are not compensated for their appearances, and their opinions do not constitute paid testimonials. Please be aware that investments carry risks and individual experiences may vary. Consult with a financial advisor for personalized advice. And remember to find us on all of the major social media platforms, such as YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.